I want this blue. I enjoy the blue. In Egypt, I saw the Rex. I loved it. Plus, here's the photography. For photography, you need to be able to stay longer down there. You need to be able to do the stops. You need to be able to handle all of that equipment in a secure way so that you are not focused on the camera only and forget about everything around you.
Off Gassing, a scuba podcast with host Nick Hogle. You might know her as the underwater panda. You might know her for her underwater photography. Or you might know her as technical diver Anastasia Schmuck. One of my first interviews this year was full of laughter and good times as I had the chance to sit down with her and hear more about her journey through the sport. Training with global underwater explorers, underwater photography, plans for the future, and how she became known as the underwater panda, and much more. Please enjoy. Anastasia?
Oh my.
Okay, sorry. Well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I just reached my home after my first working day after the holidays. I'm happy to be home currently.
how were the holidays for you?
Quite chill. It was really relaxed with the family, some celebrations. We didn't have great plans. We just decided to have it really relaxed and spend time with inside the family, plan some holidays for this year already. So yeah.
Awesome. So I'll just I'll jump right in with my first question. Tell me how and why you became a scuba diver. Tell me about that first breath, that first experience. Was it an amazing moment? Was it a terrifying moment? Was it a this is all right moment? Tell me all about it and why you be, you know, kind of how it all led up to that moment.
Yeah, okay. It all started with sangria. It was middle of the day and we had already two, and then my husband decided to go to the bar of the hotel and ask where he can rent a snorkel to go snorkeling. That time I didn't even know what that is. This water snorkeling. That's what I am gonna do. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, okay, why not? Let's go. Yeah. It was on Madeira in a resort with some pension. I think it was only breakfast or something. Anyway, we went to the bar, ordered another sangria, and he asked the guy whether he potentially would have known where we could take some snorkel. The guy looked at me. I was like, I have no idea. Look at you. And he said, yeah, there is actually a dive shop. Go there, ask. They will advise. And he was like, oh, cool, so I can go diving, because my husband was diving before. And we went down. The guy was really friendly, really, really nice. A guy from Germany speaking Bayerisch, like really strong Bayerisch. And at that time, I was able to speak some German, but not that one. So, yeah. And this is how actually we ended up booking dive for my husband. And it DSD for me. I didn't even know what that is. I just said, okay. And so the next day I came, he said, there's going to be 2 hours of theory or something, or 3 hours. I asked to switch to English because it would be easier. Then there was pool session where you need to take off the regulator, take out the mask, like try all these things. And then there was a try dive in the Atlantic Ocean. Like house reef, nothing hard or anything, like not of a thing. And that's how it was. Basically, I got the theory. Then we went to the pool. I had like literally no problem taking off the mask, taking off the regulator, all that stuff. Like, you know, all these horror stories that people got panic attack. I know it only from the stories. So, yeah. And then the guy was like, yeah, okay, I see no problem. Let's go inside. And then we spent almost an hour in the water. Went down to 12 meters, And I came back with half a tank full. And the guy said, you have to do the course. And then he told my husband how much gas I had left in the tank. And my husband was shocked. Because, like, normally when you do a first dive, you kind of come back earlier because you just breathe so much. But for me, it was totally not a problem. I just went down, okay, good, I'm breathing out. There are fishes, nice, cool. And if you, like, kick on the coral a little bit on this, not the coral itself, but this rock formation, you know, like with your finger, they think that you give them food and they're coming close to you. That was cool at that point, yeah. It's like, okay. And I said, like, okay, and what is the course? What do I need to do for it? And the guy was like, yeah, you need to do some dives, some theory lessons. And I was like, oh no, we are like flying back in 2 days. That's how it ended for the next 2 years. It was 2016. And then there were 2 years without the water because I decided to go for a driving license first. That was the fucking great idea because I wouldn't have come to it otherwise. So yeah, and then 2018 I got 3 weeks of vacation in a row. It was my first time when I get so much vacation in a row. I spent 2 weeks in Austria in the mountains, and the last week was planned for the diving course in Germany in Starnberger See with a cold water of 10 degrees. I was like, my husband told me that it will be better if I do it there than in Egypt. I was like, okay, probably he has the reasons. I mean, safety and stuff. It was a nightmare because it was cold. There was no visibility. It was raining all 2 days of diving, and the dives were like really short. I didn't practice any skills. And after that, I passed the exam better than anyone else in the room, even though the German isn't my mother tongue or anything, and my German skills were really limited, like really limited. Still, I somehow passed it. I got my card, and then I said, I will never do it again.
Oh, really? So when did that all change?
And then I went to the next very week, I went to the business trip to Moscow for 4 months. And I started to just Google around because I was like, I remember diving being not so horrible. So I Googled a bit, and there was a possibility to dive in an aquarium in Moscow with some turtles and stuff. And there were funny stories of the turtle that was biting the divers because it was a very unfriendly turtle and stuff. And so I just went to the office. I was like, hey, guys, I want to try. They said, no problem. What's your experience? I was like, 4 dives, it's 15 minutes, and I'm open water. And they opened their eyes like, what? I was like, yeah, I probably will need some help. They said, like, yeah, okay. I mean, you could see in their faces that something is wrong, but I couldn't detect what. So they said, yeah, sure, okay, let's do it. Then I did dive in the aquarium. I do have pictures with a biting turtle. And then after that, I was like, wow, that's really cool. I need to do more. I went to this office and I was like, and what is the next step? Advanced open water. What is it? How can I do it? They said, yeah, you can do it here in the local lake. Local lake in Moscow isn't better than the local lake in Germany. The visibility is same shit. Temperature, same cold. And advanced open water you can do only in a dry suit. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? What can possibly go wrong? And this is how I signed up for an advanced open water with in a dry suit, having 4 log dives in the logbook. The guys in Moscow, they were not really amazed. At least I got 2 instructors. One was giving me the pool sessions and the theory, and the other one was giving me the open water. And the one with the theory, he looked at my profile and he was like, we'll see whether you make it. Maybe we will have to start from the very beginning. I mean, I was like, whatever, do it. And that's how everything worked nice in the pool. And the other guy who was giving me the open water classes, he saw how I am underwater in the pool, in a dry suit, you know, there is this wonderful exercise of which I never understood the reason, to do the salto underwater in a dry suit. This is where they pump into the dry suit lots of air, and then you go artificially, you go up, of course, with your legs up and all that stuff, and you need to somehow make it back to the right step. I liked it so much that I did it 3 times. I was like, may I do it once again? He was like, yeah, okay, do it again. So yeah, after that, I did my advanced like 6 dives in 2 days in the cold water. The last dives, the instructor was putting me into the suit, like packing me in there because I wasn't able to. My fingers were refusing this hard, fat, neoprene dry suit. It was really heavy. It was really bad. But I did it. And it was a very interesting experience because I stayed in the same facility where they have the diving center in this house. And in the evening, I was able to join the evening sittings like this, blah, blah, and stuff. Drinking, of course, obviously. I got to know that all what is told you that you shouldn't be drinking before the day you go diving isn't really the reality. Isn't how it works, no. With instructors and the technical divers and even rebreather divers. And they were, of course, telling such stories. I was like, oh, my God, what? I didn't understand half of what they were saying. I was like, this is so much. Like, why? But it had such an impression that I was like, okay, I want it. And then somehow it came to more pool sessions because I realized also I don't have all the skills. And a lot of skills have been skipped in open water. So I was taking classes extra for like picking up what I didn't get in the previous courses. So yeah, and after that, somehow it went really quickly into traveling, into further courses and all that stuff.
So when you initially did that first DSD, you knew that you liked it a lot. So enough to want to go and move forward. And then how was that transition to go into the cold water? Because that will turn a lot of people off, and for people to just be like, no, I'm not doing this, which obviously you were, but you liked it enough to wanted to keep pursuing it.
You know, it is different because Atlantic isn't really warm. It is like 19 degrees. And I was doing it in 7 millimeter, but I somehow didn't feel it really that cold. And so Starnberger, it was, I think, something at that point in summer, it was something like 15, 16. So it wasn't so bad. It was bad, but not so bad. Yeah, but, you know, after this, then there was this advanced in a dry suit, but the water was also quite okay. I mean, it was September, it was still warm enough. But after that, like half a year later, I was on Crete Island where the water was 22 and I was wearing the wetsuit. And even this ice vest, the thing on top of the wetsuit, 5 millimeters and 5 millimeters with the hood and the gloves and all that stuff. And I got so frozen that I got an inflammation from it.
Oh.
And that's where I said, I'm going to go and order a dry suit because I can. Because by accident, I did enough advanced in it and I know how to use it. I thought so. Where before that, after that dry suit course, I said, no, I'm going to dive only in the warm waters. That was kind of like, you know, I adjust my opinion to the situation.
What is your level currently?
Currently, I'm unprolonged paddy dive master. Did it like 2 years ago or so, I think so. And then I didn't prolong it. And I'm a technical diver in G. Tech 1 means I can go down to 51 in a course, theoretically 60, but questionable. So yeah, that's my status, and the next step is the rebreather. I will not go deeper until I get the rebreather.
Okay. How did you like the Dive Master course?
Oh, it was a disaster. after that, I said, I'll not do the IDC. Like, really, I was so pissed. I was like, fuck it all. I'm not going to do it. Also, several factors like COVID time, plus the attitude of instructors, plus I know what is included into the Dive Master course, as I was in a very good relationship with instructors from Russia. And I was supposed to do it there, actually. But due to COVID, I couldn't travel to Russia for a Dive Master, so I had to do it in Germany. And it was absolutely not what I expected. I learned literally nothing in that course, besides the fact that you have to always be in a hurry because everyone else is in a hurry and a lot of people and like quick, quick, quick into the water and whatever. So it really wasn't okay. And also on top of that, I did my fundamentals before. Oh. So when we were practicing the skills in the pool, there, you know, there is this wonderful exercise where you have to stay in one position underwater and do not move your arms and legs and whatsoever. And all the dive masters, I think we were a group of five or six, we had to perform it in the pool. I literally almost fell asleep. Like, literally, I was there in a dry suit for a moment because it was already cold outside. And I said, I'm not going into that water in a wetsuit so that I freeze there. I went in a dry suit and I was there like this. And it was like 15 minutes into this 1 minute exercise. And I was like literally closing my eye. And like, I think that it felt like, you know, in a lecture of a really, really boring professor. It felt like that because everyone else was going up and down and up and down. And right, one was making rounds around me because he couldn't stay in one place. Like, this is how basically the whole course was. Because in terms of the underwater skills, it wasn't something spectacular. I mean, yes, they're giving the briefing and all that stuff. That's another story. But what regarding the underwater skills, I was wondering how all these people are going to teach the others later. If they hardly can do anything themselves. So I was like, and also after seeing that, and after seeing them certified, I was like, okay, no. I'm not bringing this upon myself. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Then I actually, to be honest, I did one safari where I was performing as a dive master. I was also helping the other guys. I was helping some other divers with their kicks, practicing the kicks and practicing the SMB and all these things. But when I was giving the briefing and explanation, they were like, this is not how exactly people do it. And I'm like, I'm telling it to you not as a dive master. I'm telling it to you as a dry diver, how we do it, and how I learned it and how it works for me. So try it. If it works for you, then everything will be fine. And then people actually underwater, they realize they can learn a lot from me by just watching and like asking some questions. And I don't need to be a dive master for giving practical advices, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I will not prolong it.
So how did you end up gravitating towards GUE?
Oh, that started all in Moscow in that very drinking evening. Because I saw the guys, I saw them underwater as well. I had that much of awareness. And I was hearing the stories of how cool projects someone, some Jared Jablonski, whoever that is, did. And I was like, I want it. I didn't even know who that is. I didn't know what GUE is. And then in the pool sessions, my instructor just asked me, do you want to try a wing? And I was like, what is that, a wing? Like, I'm like, wait a moment, I'm just getting familiar with all that. And you're asking me about some wing. And he was like, yeah, it's kind of the jacket, but it's better. You will be more stable and so on and so on. At that point, we were practicing trim. And I was like, yeah, sure. Then he brought the next session. He brought the Helsing wing of one of his previous students. She was approximately the same size as me, so it was fitting okay. No any extra adjustments and stuff. I tried it, and I was so amazed. I was like, I will never dive this jacket again. I mean, I did dive the jacket again, obviously, because I didn't have my own. But the moment I bought the wing, I was like, never again. The whole my dive master course, I refused to dive the jacket because I said that it makes no difference. For me, I can explain all the procedures on the wing, but therefore I am more stable on the wing. And they see that I am more stable on the wing. So this is how it is. And then, of course, he brought the wing. And I was like, what is this? And while he was explaining me all that stuff, somehow the discussion came to Jui. And then I also, you need to know that in this open water sessions that we had in the advanced, he had the DIR configuration, long hose, backup regulator, lamp and such stuff. And I afterwards, after this wing and so, and he was also diving a wing, yeah, not a jacket and a dry suit, obviously. And then I was asking him like, what is all that? And why do I have this yellow thing bubbling around? Which I never know where it is. And you have such everything like smooth and nice and all that things. And he was like, yeah, there are such things like the air, they're like this GE stuff, they teach it like also directly in the monotank configuration. And I was like, wow, cool, I need it. That's it. And then I came back to Hamburg and I knew there are a couple of guys from some diving weekend I had in Hemmoor. And I wrote them and asked, hey, can you possibly know whether someone here is teaching Jui? And someone here who can... So first I was searching for someone who is selling the dry suit. So they advised me a guy, Kite Kreitner. I went to him. I spent 3 hours of his time torturing him with questions about the dry suit. In the end, I did order one. Not from him exactly, but he said where to go to order and stuff. And... later, when I asked the same guy from the weekend about the GE instructor, he also said, like, go to Kite. I was like, the same Kite? And he was like, yeah, yeah, go to the same Kite. And I was like, what shall I do to get a fundamentals class from you? Like, you know, hi. I almost forgot to write hi. it was that bad, yeah. So basically then we scheduled the fundamentals. Then COVID came, we had to reschedule and all that stuff. But from the moment I ordered the dry suit, I knew I will go for GE. Even earlier before that, I knew I will go for GE. It was just a question of time.
Did you, so when you took the course, how did you find it? Was it difficult? Was it easy?
Fundamentals?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. I still consider it one of the best courses I had. One of, because there is another one and was also cool. This course is very special, you know, because to fundamentals, people come who already know how to dive, or at least they think so. Some of them are very sure that they know how to dive and they try to prove you that they are diving better than you teach them. That's also very interesting to watch. Because, you know, like speaking, everyone can. Underwater will show everything. You cannot hide underwater.
It's very true.
So, yeah. To me, this course was hard. On the third day, I was really close to give up. I was crying. I was struggling with myself because I have really high expectations from myself. And that was a big mistake, even though I tried my best to come to this course with no expectations to myself. I failed at it. I was really close to just stop it and don't do anything and just kick it. But then on the fourth day, when things started to work, I was like, wow, I can. I can such things I couldn't imagine I could before. Everything I was struggling before with, everything I had questions about, and even more has been answered. Like, you know, on each my question, and I'm really good in asking really, really bad questions and hard questions, they were all answered. And that was actually for the first time like this, because previously, like, pretty often I was hearing something like, because... or experience, you know, like that isn't really satisfying. The experience answer isn't really satisfying. I need to hear facts. I need to hear some controversies. I need to hear some pro and contra so that I can analyze myself and understand why exactly this. And this is what Jui gave me. There was no question left without having a clear answer and understanding why exactly this way.
Yeah, no, I recently, last year at this time, in October of last year, I took the fundamentals course. And I really, really enjoyed it. I got a rec pass. There was a couple things that I need to work on, but I'm actually going to go back in March of this year to try to upgrade to the tech pass. So I had a basic knowledge of, you know, just fundamental skills that they teach. Obviously, mm-hmm. not as good as I thought I had in my head. but no, I definitely, going into the course, it was basically tried to go in with no expectations as well. Obviously, there's always some expectations, but as I was speaking to, when I was speaking to the instructor before the course, I was telling her, like, hey, I'm coming into this course expecting not to pass. Cause you know, just hearing about GUE and the high, you know, the high standards. And then I had a lot of misconceptions going in as well. So I told her, I was like, I'm not expecting to pass. My biggest goal is I want to see what needs work, what I'm good at, and, you know, where the path to take. And no, I really, really enjoyed the class. But by the end of day one, I was exhausted. I was absolutely just exhausted. And I've told this story a couple times, but, you know, because they're just kind of having you run through drills and skills. And, you know, I feel that I'm pretty good with my back kick. Like, I felt like that was something that I got down pretty good. And after doing all the different, you know, finning maneuvers or techniques, I should say, she's like, okay, we're going to do some back kicks. And my legs were so tired that, like, I literally, like, my mind was telling my legs what to do, but it just couldn't complete the action because my legs were just so tired.
Wow.
But you feel, like, good, you know, like, I mean, it's, you're just going in. But yeah, it was just an exhausting day. But by the end of the course, though, it really, I feel like they don't break you down and then build you up. But like the first couple of days, I was like, man, this is exhausting. But by the end, it's such like a high because you're just like, man, look what we've accomplished as a team. And then just to be able to see the instructor take three different levels of divers. And by the end, we're all working as a team was a pretty amazing thing to see. So I went and I took the course. Me and my girlfriend signed up because she's a newer diver. I've been diving for about 7 years. And then there was a third student. I think he was somewhat newer too, maybe like a year in or something like that. So just very different levels of divers. And just to see by the end, we're all working as a team was absolutely amazing. It was a really, really fun, just kind of eye-opening thing to where I was like, yeah, so what's the next course? You know, obviously I have to upgrade to the tech pass, which should be fun. Really looking forward to that. But yeah, no, I really, really enjoyed the fundamentals class.
You know, it was like for my husband, I mean, he wasn't so much into diving when I started in 2018 because he got another hobby. And he was spending all the time for it. So I was even traveling alone for quite a while because he wasn't really into diving. And then once he decided to have that one dive with his old equipment, some old wetsuit and stuff, and him were with us, it looked like from the old videos and films from Cousteau. Like not that old, but like in that direction. One dive and he changed his mind completely. He signed up for the dry suit course and then he was like, what was that course you were doing before this? And he signed up for GE and for him it was like this. His two buddies, they were full cave whatever thing, divers. They were like unmovable in the water. They were so stable. And him with four dives in a dry suit, like really fresh. And he did fundamentals in Switzerland and it was really hard. He also pulled it through. He finished the course with provisional, and it took us a year to bring him to rec pass because of the COVID and all these things. We didn't always have time to refresh, and he got explicitly permission from the headquarters that it's allowed.
Oh.
I think it was something like that. Or he talked to instructor and instructor requested something like that. So it was really complicated because they normally give you only half a year. But due to COVID, they somehow prolonged that.
Okay.
And then he got the recreational in 1 week, or to be exact, 3 dives, he got the tech pass.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's awesome.
And then the next day after getting the tech pass, we did together the tech one. And that was the next awesome course that I had. That's why I said fundamentals, one of the best. The tech one is also one of the best. These two, this was just... It is just another level. And tech one was really cool on another level. It was so much fun. Like, none of the days went without laughs. And in none of these days I was ready to give up. I was rather more like, even though at one point the instructor told me, do this, and I'm serious about it. And when an Englishman, like real Englishman and gentleman, is telling you, and I am serious about it, you know you fucking have a problem. Because... like you know, you're really like screwed, and one more mistake and you fail the course. And he told it to me in a valve drill when there was an imitation of the leakage. So I was like directly closing the right one, like immediately the moment I heard the leakage, where I had to listen first. I was already closing the right one without the this was a mistake that I was constantly doing from dive to dive. And he said, I'm serious about it. Start listening. So yeah, that was the tech course. But yeah, fundamentals is one of the courses where people are coming after that. They're like, that's, I learned diving in you, a lot of them say. I hardly saw any diver who would say that fundamentals is not interesting course. And they learned nothing. Like, you know, there were people, they were very arrogant people who were saying like, I could have learned all that without fundamentals as well. And I'm like, you could. No one say you couldn't. No one say you couldn't, no. There are also people who are coming to fundamentals and what they wanted to learn in fundamentals is a back kick. Like, if you're coming to fundamentals to learn only the back kick, because actually that was like basically one dive and you can do it. Kind of.
So you said the first, or when you took fundamentals, how did you said you did you say you failed or you got a provisional? Like, how long did it take? Or you did you? I'm sorry, I don't remember what you said.
Oh, okay. No, it was like this. I received rec pass after fundamentals.
Okay.
Failure, team awareness is usually, and the ascend.
Okay.
Like these two combination, I was a captain of the team. I didn't keep the formation, and 6 meters, two of us just popped up. Yeah. My husband got provisional. That was like, he got provisional, I got recreational, but we did the fundamentals with 1 year of a difference.
Oh, okay.
He did it later. It's just I was waiting for him to get a tech pass so that we can do tech one together.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, tech pass I got couple of months later, actually during this dive master course, because there was a DIR meeting of DIR divers in the Hemmoor, and of course lots of instructors, G instructors are also there. So you can grab someone kind of and say, hey, I want to have a tech upgrade. And that's what I did. So I basically caught Kite. I asked him whether I can do a tech upgrade this weekend. He said, yes, sure. And tomorrow I go with another guy who also wants a tech upgrade. You can join us. And that's how I did it.
Oh,
and
okay.
After this tech upgrade, almost 1.5 years passed until I did my tech one.
Okay. Question. And I don't know if it's because of the area. Did you want to go the tech one route as opposed to the cave one route? Because once you get your tech pass, you can kind of go either way, right?
Yeah. I have a story with the caves. I'm still finding my way towards the caves. I felt like really, really uncomfortable in the cave.
Oh.
I sucked the air out of the bottle so fast. And I couldn't explain why. It was, with the time, it got less. Plus, I got used to going into the racks, into the engine room and stuff. And still in the engine room, I don't feel comfortable. I am stable. I'm not panicking. I don't suck the air anymore, but I still don't feel comfortable. That's why, and tech, like, I mean, come on, Rex, it is obvious. We went to Malta, we spent the winter. I called it lockdown refugee winter because we ran from Germany to Malta because they didn't have all these masks and all these stupid rules and stuff. And you could dive there. I mean, come on. Anyway, everyone is anyway sitting in the home office. What's the difference where I'm sitting in the home office? That was my flow of thoughts, yeah. We went to Malta. It was the best time of my life at that point. Felt the same way. And I was diving wrecks in my range of 30 meters, though I had a tech 40 already at that point. I did tech 40 somewhere in between for fundamentals and like all that stuff. Yeah. So I saw the wrecks. I took actually the case for the phone, you know, this dive folk. The very first version of dive folk I was possessing, and I was making some photos and videos with that of the underwater. And I was like, Rex, wow, cool. That's not like this wooden boat that is sunk on the bottom of the lake, but it was like really a big, massive piece of metal. And this is how it actually comes to the point also that I want depth. I want this blue. I enjoy the blue. In Egypt, I saw the wrecks. I loved it. Plus, here's the photography. For photography, you need to be able to stay longer down there. You need to be able to do the stops. You need to be able to handle all of that equipment in a secure way so that you are not focused on the camera only and forget about everything around you, but you can do all that. And that was very promising in a tech one because the guy was also a photographer, the instructor, and he made me to make a promise that the first 10 dives after the tech one are going to be without the camera in my hand. First 10 tech dives. I didn't completely keep this promise, but the dive was not really tech. Basically, the next day after the tech dive, we went after the tech course. I went with the friends of him to the Farud wreck. They were on the rebreathers, and I was on the open circle and with a stage. It wasn't planned to have any decompression. I just wanted to practice the stage handling again, even though I was familiar with the stage before, but still. And then the agreement was the following, that we are doing the dive without decompression. We are coming to 21 meters. I'm giving the camera to the guy. He's taking the camera. I'm doing all my switches and all these things. And then he gives me the camera back. What happened was that I basically clipped the camera off and switched to the stage and did all that stuff. And of course, I did photos during this dive. And I remember publishing this photo and then receiving a message in WhatsApp. Like, I told you no camera. So, like, it is just, you know, it is just passion in your head that, like, leads you to choose the path. I didn't say no to caves. I just said it's going to be later. Same as rebreather. I tried rebreather directly, like not that long after fundamentals, actually. I tried it. I said yes, but not now.
Okay, okay.
Because I know my limits. I know I'm not ready for rebreather now after the last year of diving tech, doing tech dives, multiple tech dives. I said I am ready for a rebreather now.
Okay.
Now I can. But at that time, it was like this caves, no. In comparison to my husband, who said directly after fundamentals, I want to go caves. And he did take one only for me. He doesn't really need all that stuff. He wants to go for caves. So I kind of owe him, so I have to go for cave one. That's
not a bad trade-off.
Yeah.
So you obviously got more into photography. What do you shoot on now?
Ah, my camera. I have a compact camera still. It was a decision of, I could have taken a crop, I think it was crop, yes, crop setup, take over some used one. But I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to make it so much. So I decided for a compact, but with a flashlight, with all that stuff, with arms, all the setup. It was actually a gift from a husband to me after the first Malta trip. He gave me the camera, the housing, the flashlights as the first, like basically the first setup that I got was a gift from him. On top of that, I bought extra then some the lens and all the things. But the idea behind it was that the compact camera isn't so complicated. You can shoot macro and wide angle with the same basically camera and all the things. It isn't easy, absolutely not. It has its limitations, but it is also a good starting point where you get to know your abilities. And at that point, we said, like, currently the camera can do more than me.
Okay, okay.
Now I'm slowly coming to the point where I can say, okay, now it's time to replace it. I do want to replace it. I know that I can better with another setup. So the compact was a really good solution for a beginning. A lot of people go for Olympus, which is also okay. I decided to go for Sony Ericsson.
Okay.
But it has its limitations. The deeper you go, the more sensitivity you need. And the current setup allows me to pull up the ISO for like 1.5K maybe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But then you have so much grain and you have so much noise that it is really hard to work on such pictures. And that makes making photo on depth of 50 meters very complicated. If you want to have the quality. I mean, if it is a really close by in a dark background, like portrait photos or stuff, no problem. Whatever depth, it's not a problem because you anyway have flashlights. Diver is your object and not something else. But if you're making wide angle photography of the full rack and stuff, like you just need the sensitivity, you need the proper sensor. And that requires, of course, full frame.
Yeah. Do you have your eye on a full frame camera?
Sony. I'm going to stick to Sony. It's going to be the, not the fifth, the fourth. The fifth I cannot afford. It's going to be the fourth. Standard setup pretty much for a wide angle photographer.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to stick to my flashes that I currently have from, I'm not exactly sure rebreather or camera because I end up with the same sample for this and that. So hard choice. Really hard.
Yeah, no, for sure. And big investment too. So it's definitely, yeah. So I'm just curious, the underwater panda, how did you come up with, where did that come about?
Yeah, panda. My husband calls me panda because when we met, I had several memory sticks in form of panda. I don't know how did it come to it. I just got them like a gift from people randomly in a panda shape. Then he started to call me panda. Maybe it was because he couldn't pronounce my name in the correct way. I don't know. I was refusing the name panda. Then there was some, I think there was some birthday of some diving club where they were making the masks, the custom masks, you know, my first custom mask. And they created the panda on it and some motto under it. So I had my mask with panda. And then when I was buying my first dry suit, Santi launched the Silver Moon. I was one of the first buyers of the Silver Moon in the northern Germany. And when you wear a Silver Moon, tell me it looks like a panda. It looks like a fucking panda. So at that point, I even stopped refusing it because it makes no sense. And so I had a mask with a panda. I had the Silver Moon. And like everything was then. After that, I got white fins because it fits and all that stuff. So yeah, it's kind of like unrefusable.
Okay.
So I just went along with that and like, okay, panda it is. So now I'm having my panda logo. I put it everywhere because all the configuration is standard. People lose it. People take yours. I have a panda on it. No one takes panda.
You have a a panda suit now too, don't you?
I do. The kigurumi actually is with me since 2019. When I went, I had the safari in Egypt. Actually, my first safari in the Silver Moon as well. This is where I also did the tech photo. And then the last day of it was the Halloween. So everyone was supposed to bring some costumes for the Halloween. And the guys from Russia, so it was an idea of my instructor, he was like, buy a panda kigurumi. And I ordered a panda kigurumi. And I was diving it underwater as well in a dry suit in Egypt. Then I was diving it in Egypt on another occasion. Recently, I was diving it in Switzerland. That was the most stupid idea of my life so far. Never do it. Never, never do it. Never dive kigurumi in the dry suit. Never. It is a bad idea. So, yeah, but panda is all around me. I even have this wonderful guy here. I mean, with a twin set.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. A friend of mine, she saw it in a dive shop in Zug here, not that far away. And she was like, she sent me a picture. She was like, shall I take it for you?
That's awesome.
And then shortly before that, I also ordered this wonderful girl that is a doll, handmade in Russia. You see the logo also, and they made even the logo on a mask. So they made it like they explicitly created the white lamp, the regulators, or the white suit, like a silver moon and all these things. Also with the twin set, because the woman was familiar with creating the dolls for the classical recreational divers, but she had zero idea about the technical configuration. I had to explain to her all that stuff. But yeah, so yeah, I have a lot of such things here around.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So any what are your goals for 2024?
Survive.
It's true.
I don't have higher goals after the last 3 years. Like starting from 2020, my goal of the year is always survive it. Just please survive it. Like, you know, in the best case, make a couple of dives in between. Maybe that would be nice. Okay. Yeah. But no, for me, this is like a joke, but not. We are going to Malta for 8 weeks in the mid of February.
Okay.
Our employer allows it. We are happy. So we will be working and diving there, meet our friends again. After that, I have an invitation for several projects, but all of them are kind of the same time, so I need to decide which one I do. I will try to participate in some cleanups as well, because last year I had an opportunity to participate in a ghost diving project. It was really cool. It felt really good, so I will be happy if I can do it again. I also already planned a fun week, 2 weeks in Indonesia.
Oh.
Also with the root dive, so I come back to the roots. I already said I'm doing it. It's going to be Komodo and maybe Bali in the end.
Okay.
For Mula Mula.
Which, where in Bali?
Komodo Safari.
No, so you said Komodo and then...
In Bali, yeah. You mean, I have no idea. Don't ask me. I haven't been there. I know Red Sea. I kind of know Maldives. I know Malta, but I have no idea about Indonesia. That's why I went there with people whom I know, whom I trust.
Okay.
I know that it's going to be awesome. So, I don't know. It's going to be just some first week. It's going to be safari in the Komodo, then a couple of days surface, just chill, exhale. And then there is going to be some daily dives. I don't know.
Okay. In Bali, I would recommend Ahmed. Ahmed is, especially if you like macro, you know, there's a couple of wrecks, nothing like some of the stuff that you've seen. But Ahmed is a really nice area, and it's mellow. I mean, I guess it depends on what you're looking for. It's just Ahmed is kind of, it's up to the north, so it's a lot quieter because there's, you know, the different types of people that go to Bali. Some people just want to go there and party and just kind of hit that party scene, maybe do like a couple of fun dives. But Ahmed is really, really nice. And then there's a huge like Nusa Penida, Lambagan, Chenegan.
I think I've seen these names in the program. Huh? I think so.
But yeah, either way, you'll have a good time.
I surely hope so. You know, these last years, they taught me one important lesson. Don't make high plans, don't have high expectations, and it's going to be good.
That's true.
So, like, you know, I know I signed up for 2 weeks of diving in Indonesia. I do remember reading the names that you said before, but I'm not really sure what it's going to be. I decided to just wait and see.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. No, that's... Gonna
be, like, my husband always says, like, don't... chill, it's gonna panda out. And I'm like, okay, it's gonna panda out. It's somehow gonna panda out.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, no, I absolutely love Indonesia. It's my favorite place in the whole world. I definitely think you'll have a great time there.
I'm afraid I love it too much.
But no, this has been awesome. I was going to say, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast, but my last question that I wanted to throw at you is, what advice would you have for somebody from just kind of like the typical industry recreational background that is going in to take a fundamentals course? What advice would you give to that person?
Relax and enjoy. The first in particular, relax. I mean, get enough sleep, don't drink alcohol. Here for real, don't drink alcohol. Relax, don't have high expectations on yourself. Go there with an empty mind. Just trust your instructor because he means no harm. He's gonna only make it better. And if he says you should straighten your legs, straighten your fucking legs.
Oh, okay. I feel like that's good life advice.
Relax is always a good advice, huh? I mean, if you don't know what to do, relax.
Okay. Well, once again, I really want to thank you for coming on to the podcast. This has been absolutely wonderful, and happy new year. I hope you have a wonderful year full of lots of plans that actually go through, and hopefully it's not like the last few year or the COVID years, we'll call it.
So. Oh, these were good. I spent nice winters in Malta diving.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. And once again, thank you very, very much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you. Have a nice year as well.
Offgassing, a scuba podcast.